This is Debate Week on Vermont Edition, and today we bring you the Republican candidates for governor in a face-to-face debate. I'm Peter Hirschfeld. I'm joined in VPR's Colchester studio by two Republicans who are seeking their party's nomination for the state's highest office. Bruce Lissman is a businessman from Shelburne. Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott lives in Berlin. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you to be here.
Having us on.
And listeners, welcome to you. If you're following along on social media, use the hashtag VPR Debate Week to comment on what you're hearing from the candidates today. Here's the format for the debate. In the first half, I'll ask the questions with some help from Vermonters who've been submitting their questions to us over the last several days. In the second half, we're going to have candidates question one another directly. And if time allows, we'll squeeze in a lightning round before we wrap up. Bruce Lissman, Phil Scott, please limit your answers to 1 minute. There may be time for follow-ups. We do have a timekeeper here to help us all stay on track. So let's begin. This campaign has been an antagonizing one by any measure, and by Vermont standards especially. Bruce Lissman, you've been running ads accusing Phil Scott of serious ethical lapses by retaining ownership of a construction business that bids on millions of dollars worth of state jobs. You've released campaign flyers linking Phil Scott to Governor Peter Shumlin, saying he won't be able to provide the change the state needs. He's here right now. Make the case to him, to voters, why Lieutenant Governor Scott should not be Vermont's next governor.
Sure. Thanks. The ads are factual, so everything is footnoted. You can always find the quotes in a newspaper or a media slice. So all we've said is factual, and he's angry and better to direct it at himself for maybe saying those things as opposed to me. Here's the important thing. This is really a race about the future of Vermont, in my opinion. Vermonters everywhere. Everywhere say they want a new direction. It doesn't matter whether they're D's or R's. They're talking about a different direction. And I think it's our opportunity to speak about what that should be and how we should get there. Vermonters are burdened by high property taxes, burdened by a high cost to live, and a government that seems unwilling or unable to listen to them and to respond to their needs. And what we need is a competent governor. What we need is a direction forward and a conviction about what ideas matter the most. And that's why I'm running, and that's my point I try to make through our ads and marketing.
Phil Scott, your campaign put out a press release yesterday calling Bruce Lissman, quote, incapable of being honest. You said his attack ads are a calculated lie. How do you respond to some of the specific charges that Bruce Lissman has made about you?
Well, I think the ads are misleading at best, deceitful in many, many instances. And I just think it's disappointing that the campaign has reached this level of lowness. I think that, again, they're misleading. I feel as though he's spending an awful lot of money to tear me down in order for himself to look better. And I think Vermonters expect more than that. I think we have to inspire people to do better. I'm proud to be talking about the policies that I have, the vision I have about growing the economy, making Vermont more affordable, and restoring faith and trust in government. And I don't think this does it. And I believe that, you know, we have a clear choice in this election, and I'm going to continue to be as positive as I possibly can and talk about the issues that are facing Vermont.
Give me an example, Phil Scott, of a charge that Bruce Lissman has leveled against you that you find particularly egregious or untruthful.
Well, particularly the ad that came out, all of them, actually, but the ad that came out yesterday, the day before, and trying to disparage my family business, my integrity. I value my reputation. I've worked very hard at trying to, as a small business owner in Vermont, literally slugging it out in the trenches for my entire life. And I have the respect of many in the legislature, as well as the business community. And I feel as though these targeted ads are just trying to tear me down. And I think that the Vermonters expect better than that.
Bruce Lissman, why do you feel like it is important for Vermonters to hear about Phil Scott's business and the relationship that it has with the state? According to your ad, Phil Scott has made millions of dollars because of that business doing inking contracts with the Agency of Transportation. What is your issue with that arrangement?
Well, my issue going forward is that if he is elected governor, that he can't be in the construction business doing business with the state. 47 other states have ethics rules or laws, in many cases explicitly prohibited. Governors have gone to jail for doing less than that. Countries around the world have strict prohibitions against, if you will, self-dealing. And you're talking about taxpayer money. And what the heck would it look like to the world outside of Vermont when we have a governor doing business? It would look like cronyism at its worst. So I've said, simply said, he does a lot of business with the state. I don't think so many Vermonters know that, because people every day said, I didn't know that. And the second thing is, going forward, he's going to have to make a choice. Don't do business with the – if he's going to be governor, don't do business with the state, or don't be governor. And I think it's pretty straightforward. I think it's a dilemma. I understand it, but I believe strongly. And I might add, it says so explicitly in the State of Vermont Executive Order related to Executive Code of Ethics. Public office should not be used for private gain other than remuneration provided by law, thus the loss of public confidence in the integrity of the government. Straightforward.
Phil Scott, how is it not a serious conflict of interest for the governor of the State of Vermont to own a business that's bidding on contracts that the state is paying for?
Well, again, I'm very proud of the family business I've been a part of for the last 30 years. I co-owned with my cousin, and I'm proud of the hundreds of jobs that I've been able to deliver to Vermonters and their families. And we have a long tradition of taking care of our employees. The contracting process is open and transparent. I've made repeated steps in creating a blind trust. I'm working with a firm right now that has consulted with our company for years. And there's going to be a blind trust set up that will have a complete firewall between me and the business. I will completely disassociate myself with the business. I will not profit from the business. And it will continue to stay in business as it has for the last 70 years.
Let's turn our focus.
May I respond?
10 seconds, Bruce Lisman.
Sure. It's a blind trust isn't going to work for his business as long as he's a 50% owner in it. He's going to be appointing, if elected governor, agency heads, department heads, associate heads, and all kind of people. You can't have people he's appointed look to him while his company in any kind of trust is bidding. It's simply a conflict of interest.
Turning our attention to fiscal policy, both of you have vowed to curb growth in government spending. You've chosen different ways to go about doing that, though. Phil Scott, you say you won't approve a budget that grows faster than either wages or the economy in the previous year. Bruce Lisman, you've said you'll simply limit state budget growth to 2% no matter the economic conditions. Bruce Lisman, why is your proposal the right approach when it comes to curbing government spending?
Yep. So we've spent a lot of money in the last 6 years. We've grown at a rate of 5.2%. The economy's growing at a rate less than 2% nationally, internationally, and probably here. That's a $700 million tab increase in taxes, fees, surcharges, which Vermonters pay for. Hardworking Vermonters pay for it. We have big investments in front of us. So I've said 2% per year for 3 years and look for efficiencies of 1.5%. So we're talking about slowing the growth from 5%+ to really 3% and looking for both savings and efficiencies. Look no further than Vermont Healthcare Connect, which costs nearly $60 million a year, doesn't work, will never work. Look no further than Medicaid, where it's a gigantic amount of money pressuring both insurance premiums and the budget, opportunities to a deep dive audit and save substantial amounts of money. So I think mine is an approach which sets us up for rational budgeting, including, I might add, we need a plan with a strategic budget attached.
Bruce Lisman, there are people who say that spending less means doing less in state government. There's no two ways around it. Very briefly, give me an example of a specific efficiency that is there to be found in state government that would allow you to reduce spending without impacting services or programs.
Yeah, I just gave you two of them. Healthcare Connect is not going to work. It costs a lot of money. We need to migrate to the federal exchange. The Medicaid package is so large and so poorly managed that we don't actually know what's inside of it. We don't know if people are eligible. We don't know if they receive the proper level of benefits. We don't know if just a handful of people are responsible for the big increase in it. And we don't know if they're healthier for being in the Medicaid. A third of our fellow Vermonters are in Medicaid. So the idea is we need to do a deep dive audit, figure out how to do it better, just like four other states have done. Rhode Island saved $75 million. North Carolina took their program from deficit to surplus. It's not easy, but we can do it.
Phil Scott, you want to tie budget growth to economic indicators. Why does it make sense to use wage growth in the last year or wage losses in the last year or growth in GDP as a metric on which we're going to define government spending for the coming year?
Because we all have to live within our means, whether it's in our individual households or whether it's in our businesses. We all need to make sure that we're not spending more than we're taking in. The over-optimistic expectations on the growth of the revenue has led us into the problem and the dilemma that we find ourselves in. They've been spending, the legislature and the administration has been spending at a rate of about 5% when the growth has only been 1.5% to 2.5%. So I don't think we need to guess anymore. I think we can we have indicators. We can go back to the previous year, take a look at what the economy actually did grow, what wages actually did grow to, and we have that. And so if it's at 1% or if it's at 1.5%, that's the parameter that we limit growth of the budget to. And then we set that line in the sand, and we don't exceed that. And we set that forward initially in the first part of the session.
So give me a specific example of an appropriation that was in this year's government budget that you think the state could have done without impacting programs or services.
Well, I think it goes back further than that. I think that you have to look at what the growth has been over the last number of years. Take, for instance, the administration admin costs of Medicaid. They've grown from $30 million to $130 million in the last 7 years. So that's $100 million worth of growth in the last 7 years. And that's the type of thing that we have to go back, and there has to be savings in that. And if we're not delivering in the proper fashion, if we're being inefficient, then we have to look at ways of becoming more efficient. And that's why I want to put a modernization team in place on the first week of office.
You're listening to a debate between the Republicans running for governor, Bruce Lisman and Phil Scott. If you're following along on social media, please use the hashtag VPR Debate Week. We're going to look now at health care. Vermont has...
Could I respond to that or how...
We'll have an opportunity for back and forth later on. Vermont has some of the highest health care premiums in the country. You've both called for the state to abandon Vermont Health Connect. But besides pulling the plug on this state-based insurance marketplace, what specific steps will you take to lower health care costs in Vermont? Phil Scott?
Well, again, Vermont Health Connect has cost us an incredible amount of money, time, and aggravation, and we need to transition to something else, whether it's the federal exchange or working with another state. I've looked at other proposals from, let's say, Connecticut that has a program. They've helped out. Their exchange works. They've helped out Maryland. They've offered to help us out as well. And to tie some of the maintenance costs as well to that so that we can save in operating costs. But we have a bigger problem than that, and it's our demographics. And we have far less people in the category from 25 to 45 than we did in 10 years ago. And so when you have 30,000 less in that category alone, that leads to higher costs because we're aging and we're utilizing the services more. So we need to reinvigorate the economy, grow the economy in order to find ourselves out of this mess that we find ourselves in.
So you don't have a specific health care policy that would have a direct impact on lowering of health care costs. You just think it's a matter of growing the economy.
Well, I think no, that's part of it. I think that what you have to do first is you have to have the mechanism working. The exchange must work. And that's we've wasted all this time over the last number of years on this exchange that just is dysfunctional. So you have to have something that's stable and provide some continuity and consistency. And then from there, I think that we need more competition. I think that working with other states, that's why I'd like to work with either Connecticut or maybe a New Hampshire, Maine coalition somehow to broaden out the support so that the burden is spread amongst many.
Bruce Lisman, we know you want to transition away from Vermont Health Connect into a federal version of that marketplace. But what specifically are you going to do policy-wise to bring down the cost of health care in the state of Vermont?
Let's be clear. When we're talking about the cost of health care, you're really talking about your insurance premiums. as you pointed out, among the highest in the country if you add in deductibles and other incidentals. And the reason why it's so high, it relates almost directly to an enrollment of a significant number of our fellow Vermonters into Medicaid. So you got a third of the population in Medicaid. We don't understand what's going on. Let me just say, Phil has resisted the idea of doing an audit on it. I've said it many times. We haven't done a real audit since 2011. We need a new one. And Doug Hoffer, our auditor, said this is a difficult proposition to do. They don't have real metrics. It's pressuring the budget in a significant way, and it is pressuring upward your premiums because we're basically subsidizing this. Raw cost of health care is growing at only 2% a year, only 2% a year. The difference between that and 10 to 15% increases in premiums relates directly to expenses in our health care system. Health care connect is a disaster, but so is Medicaid unless we find out that we can manage it better and less expensively, and that's literally the way to go.
Are Medicaid benefits too generous in your view, Bruce Lissman?
How could you know that? We don't even know if everyone in there is actually eligible. This is a program that certainly has important benefits to fellow Vermonters who need these services, but without knowing who's in there and what needs, which products they're getting, which public offerings, the most expensive offerings, and then the real question is, so how many people in Medicaid are causing the cost to rise? Is it a handful of people or is it many? Is it the administrative bloat or is it something else? The only way to find out is, frankly, lift the hood and see if it's lemons in there or something else.
Public education is an issue that's top of mind for a lot of voters this year. We got a question from Deborah in Plainfield about Act 46, the school governance legislation that lawmakers passed in this last biennium. Deborah asks this, I'd like to know what the candidates are going to do about Act 46, the new law forcing school consolidation. Some districts are large enough that they don't have to merge. Others see benefits to merging and have approved consolidation plans. I wish them well. But it's going to hurt my district and many others. There are many out here who feel that Act 46 is being crammed down our throats at an unwieldy pace and will force a regression of high-quality education. What would you want to see changed about Act 46, if anything, Bruce Lissman?
Sure. I'm the only candidate that said it's a bad piece of legislation. It's badly researched with unintended consequences that we deal with every day. And your question reflects that. So I'm in favor of repealing it and starting over again. We have the most complex education property funding for our education system. So few people understand that it tells you right off the bat it's a bad approach. So let's do this. First, Act 46 will raise your property taxes in hopes that later it'll go down. This is America, and we know that doesn't often happen, so you can kiss that idea. Let's collapse back offices. We don't need a purchasing agent in all the schools. We can condense some of the real cost centers, but that still doesn't get to it. Massachusetts has the best education system in America. They have a class size that's 10 or 12% higher. If we got there and if we guided schools to do that, but free those schools with the best performance at the lowest cost, we could save $165 million. 10% of your property taxes would go down. And by the way, if we did this, let's expand school choice. Act 46 is an important inhibitor of it, and I don't think you should consolidate if you don't want to. Vermonters and Americans know that when they are empowered, they'll make the right decision at the voting booth.
Phil Scott, you were in the building when Act 46 was passed. What changes, if any, do you think should be made going forward?
Well, again, let's look at the problem. We're educating 86,000 kids at this point in time, and it's costing us $1.6 billion to do it. Almost a third of our budget is spent on education, and it's 20,000 less kids than we had 20 years ago. So there's the problem. We need to fix Act 46. This was rushed through at the very end of the session, but it was as a result of decades of Vermonters asking for property tax relief. So at the very least, Act 46 tried to address this, but is falling short of the cost containment and relief Vermonters were looking for. So Act 46, I believe, must be changed to preserve and expand school choice. I think that needs to be clarified because that was something that a lot of legislators voted in favor of, thinking that it was part of the solution. And parents, I believe, should be able to choose where their kids are educated. And finally, I think we should find ways to let communities, if they do merge, that they should benefit in some of the savings that they have found. So if they could do that, there'd be incentivized consolidation. But flexibility and latitude is important.
What happens when you allow school choice and there are a number of schools that turn out to be losers with not very high enrollment, and the only people left to be able to go to them are the children whose parents don't have the means to send them to the schools that everybody else wants to go to? Both of you, 30 seconds.
Well, we need to make sure that we deliver a quality education to our children in Vermont. That's very important. Representative Beck from Caledonia, St. Johnsbury, had come up with a proposal that I believe is workable in terms of school choice in Act 46. And I think that we should debate that. He wasn't allowed to do that. It didn't move forward. But I think that's part of the solution as well.
Bruce Lisman?
I think if a school like Montgomery or Craftsbury Commons, that are relatively small, perform really well by delivering exceptional results, quality of outcomes, often determined by the teacher, him or herself in the classroom, and does it at a cost significantly less than the statewide average, which they do, I think they should be given freedom to do what they want to do, within the confines, of course, meeting minimum standards, because they've earned it. It's everywhere else that we need to focus and make sure the quality outcomes are really there. And school choice is, I think, very much a part of the process of bringing all equality to all of our schools.
Very briefly, yes or no, do you think that a parent of a child should be able to send that child, no matter where they live, to the public school of their choice anywhere in Vermont? Phil Scott?
I believe that, yes, school choice should be expanded.
Bruce Lisman?
I think, yes, I'm almost certain we're going to need some limitations and a kind of a phase into that program, and we're going to need to bring the teachers in to understand what we're doing.
You are listening to Vermont Edition. We have a debate today between the Republican candidates for governor, Bruce Lisman and Phil Scott. We next have a question from a listener. This is from Kathy Fox. Let's listen to what she is wondering about.
Hi, my name is Kathy from South Burlington, and my question for the candidates is what they would do about criminal justice reform, how big of a priority is, and what their specific proposals would be. Thanks.
Bruce Lisman, any big policy plans for criminal justice reform in your administration?
Yes. But first, we need to find ways to reduce the prison population. It's a huge cost, but it's also a significant number of men and women. First, bring them back to Vermont, get away from for-profit prison centers. Second, we need to have a more robust anti-recidivism program, which is to say we start reducing it by making sure they don't return to prison life. We need an intervention program that is robust on the front end to be sure that we are taking care of the right people and sending the right people to prison. I think if we're talking about opiate addiction, which is on everyone's mind, we're positively going to need a different kind of system. First, no catch and release on those who are hardened criminals. They have to go away. We have to make sure people know that. We need to be a well-policed state and need to be part of the community. We need an intervention program that correctly says you need service now and we're prepared to give it to you. And when you need, when you're ready to get off drugs, we need to be ready to take you. And finally, we need a mental health system that is significantly robust and along the way, an effort to tell people the dangers of drug abuse and the outcomes which often lead to prison or death. And my gosh, this is something people need to know at all the chain, whether they're prescribers or receiving drugs, but we need to be able to tell them all the time.
Phil Scott.
One of the biggest underlying drivers of crime in Vermont is our opiate problem that we face. And we're not alone in this. It's across the country, but it is affecting our economy a great deal. Anyone that doesn't feel as though they're affected by this addiction issue is oblivious to what's really going on because it does affect each and every one of us. But we have to figure out, who needs to be incarcerated and who needs to be treated. And I believe I was endorsed by the Vermont sheriffs yesterday. We talked about a 10-point plan in terms of the drug addiction issue that we have in this state. I think that treatment is part of that. Flexibility is going to be part of that as well. Gloucester, Mass. Introduced a program where they incorporate some latitude, giving law enforcement the ability to seek treatment for those instead of arresting and locking them up. So I think that the opiate issue is prevention, it's treatment. But as well, there has to be some enforcement as well. So we have to make sure we lock up those who we're afraid of, and be sure that those that who we're mad at, we work with.
We have time for one more question in this round, but we're going to keep answers to 30 seconds for this one. This question comes from a listener named Michael in Guilford. He asks, one question for every Republican candidate: will you be supporting Donald J. Trump in this election? Phil Scott.
I've been very clear on this over the last number of months. In fact, I'm the only one of the two candidates that have said what I'm going to do. I won't be supporting Mr. Trump, and I know that could be detrimental in some respects. But I think that, our leaders deserve to have our respect. I believe that that would move us in the wrong direction. I will not be voting for Hillary Clinton, but I can't support Donald Trump.
Bruce Lisman.
Well, I've been clear, too. I'm still undecided, and I don't spend a lot of time focusing on it. Well, his rise in popularity relates directly to our feelings about Washington. But we are dismayed by certain things he says, and that, too, keeps me from saying deciding what to do. The issues that brought him to prominence are the very issues we live with here in Vermont, though. People believe their government doesn't listen to them, that it doesn't work here, that we need a new direction, and that despite protesting for the last 5 or 6 years, no one, I mean no one, is paying attention to them.
This is Debate Week on VPR, and you're listening to the Republican gubernatorial debate on Vermont Edition. Our candidates in the studio are Bruce Lisman and Phil Scott. Just ahead, they'll question each other directly on the issues in this race. This is Vermont Edition. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Peter Hirschfeld, and this is Debate Week on VPR. Today, the two Republican candidates for governor are in our Colchester studio. Bruce Lisman is a businessman from Shelburne, and Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott lives in Berlin. Listeners, if you're following along on social media, use the hashtag VPR Debate Week. In the second half of the debate, the questions will answer questions. The candidates will question each other directly. Questions should not be speeches here. We want them to be short and succinct. We'll start with Bruce Lisman. Mr. Lisman, what is your first question for Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott?
So, Phil, I said often in our ads, the central purpose of our ads is to describe the conflict between us in issues. Mine is an entirely issue-based campaign, and all the advertising relates to things you've said and things you have done or haven't done. You have degraded into calling me liar, among other things, but all the context is available. Tell me, what were you doing in the last 16 years? What did you say about the $700 million in higher taxes and fees? And what exactly, while you were in the cabinet, were you doing to say to the people, you're our senior elected Republican official, these ideas are bad, I have ideas to change them?
Well, first of all, Bruce, I didn't call you a liar. At least I didn't.
Of course, you're responsible for things that happened within your campaign.
But I've never called you a liar. I think you've been deceptive. I think you've manipulated the truth. I think you've done a lot of different things.
Let's let Phil Scott answer the question, Bruce.
And I think that you're out of touch if you don't. If you think those are contrast pieces, you're out of touch with reality. I think that folks that know me, I got involved in politics 16 years ago, 20 years ago. I didn't have a political bone in my body, but I stepped up. I was living here in Vermont and thought I need to be part of the process. So I've been involved, always serving in the minority, never served in the majority. And it's difficult. I'm the only statewide Republican old office holder here in Vermont. And that's difficult, lonely at times. But I've been able to establish working relationships with Don Turner, Joe Benning, minority leaders in the House and the Senate, and we've come together and opposed all kinds of legislation. But when you're in the minority, you can't do anything about it. That's why I believe I'm the best person to move forward, use my ability to work with others, and move around in a much different direction.
Bruce Lissman, 20 seconds if you want.
I've sat with you at gubernatorial forums, and I've reminded you of what you've said in the past, ranging from the single payer looks like a good idea to the governor looks fiscally prudent to you. Let me say, my own response to you is thinking that you don't really believe in ideas, that you don't have a conviction about things. And in America, it's big ideas that matter. I think leadership Americans are attracted to are ideas that are real, that will make a difference. But if you don't have a conviction about them, you don't powerfully believe them, no one's going to follow you. Well, and when I listen to you talk about your time in the minority, it sounds to me like you're a get-along, go-along guy.
And Phil Scott, we're going to let you respond to that.
Well, Bruce, again, you're taking snippets of what I've said and totally manipulated the truth. And if you're not willing to put the whole statement in, then you shouldn't just use part of it. It's decent politics at its best.
Phil Scott, answer the question.
And it's just something that Vermont just is turned off by. We'll see on Tuesday. But I believe Vermonters know the truth. And I believe that I'll persevere by being positive in this campaign and talking about the issues rather than degrading my opponent.
And we're going to give Phil Scott the last word on that. We're going to move on now to the next question and answer. Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott, what is your first question for Bruce Lissman?
Well, I just listened to Bruce talk about Donald Trump. And, Bruce, you've been sidestepping the issue of Donald Trump, not answering the question. You didn't answer it today. And I thought it was because you were strategically not answering the question about Trump because of your I guess, confusion about what you wanted to do. But I recently learned that you donated to Hillary in the past. And I'm asking you now, are you refusing to take a position on Trump because you are supporting Hillary Clinton?
Oh, that's absurd. Of course not. I'm a Republican, and I'm proud of my party, and I'm proud of what I'm doing. Let me just say again, the election is about what we're going to be. What were you doing when $700 million in higher taxes and fees were... What were you doing when $24 million was taken to the education fund to plug a hole in the budget that set off higher property taxes? Where the heck were you when some of the worst ideas have been inflicted on Vermonters over the last 6 years? And I say, Donald Trump, it's a whole different world of what they're talking about. Vermont, here we are. What were you doing? And I've told people what I'll do. I believe in the value of great ideas. I believe in the value of urgency to get things done. And I believe leadership is an action step. And those are the kind of things I'm talking about.
Well, again, I didn't donate to Hillary. You did. You've described yourself as a Democrat when you lived those decades in New York. I've been here in Vermont my entire life as a Republican.
Bruce Lissman, 15 seconds, if you'd like.
Yep, sure. There are national candidates who've changed. Ronald Reagan was a longtime Democrat, became a Republican. So have others. And I point out that the insider view of life is different than what's going on the outside. This is a moment where we need new ideas, a fresh thought, real power of ideas that matter to Vermonters. And this is the moment to consider the direction forward. I think you're going to tap the brakes if you were a governor, and I think that's great. But I think I'm the one person who's going to take us in a different direction.
Bruce Lissman, your next question for Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott.
I'd like to get a hold of your views on Medicaid. It is a driver of bad outcomes, not only higher premiums, but real pressure on our budget. I've said over and over again, which I think is normal in business management of enterprises, we need to do a deep dive audit on Medicaid. And you've said, we have a lot of those things and nobody pays attention to them. I can only find 2011 and an updated version in 2016, January 2016, nothing in between. And I have Doug Hoffer saying it's a hard thing to audit, which only tells you we need to. So Explain yourself, please.
Over the last 10 years, Medicaid has been audited a number of times. They've come up with solutions, observations, things that we should do moving forward. The administration has opted not to move forward on any of those initiatives. I'm saying if we, I think we could just dust off the audits that have been completed because they're expensive to do. You know that. And I believe that we can implement some of the strategies imposed in some of those audits, and they would be just as relevant today as they were before. But there's no sense in spending an incredible amount of resources auditing something if we're not going to take the advice.
And Lieutenant Governor, we're going to move to the next one here. Lieutenant Governor Phil Scott, your last question for Bruce Lisman.
Oh, this is a simple one. How many Vermont elections have you voted in? In your life?
Probably since 2008. Though if you may have the number, I don't know.
No, I'm asking.
I actually can't. 2008.
And
since,
I
should say it's 2008 probably to date, better put.
It's a tense campaign, clearly. I want to ask each of you, if you do come out on the wrong side next Tuesday, will you pledge now to suspend your campaign, support the winner of the Republican primary, and not run as an independent? Bruce Lisman.
Yes. If Phil wins, I will support him.
Phil Scott?
Yes. Our platforms are very similar. I think we both have visions for a much better Vermont than the other three candidates on the other side.
You're listening to a debate between the Republicans running for governor, Bruce Lisman and Phil Scott. If you're following along on social media, you can use the hashtag VPR Debate Week. And I apologize. We actually do have some more time for questions from each of you to each other. So, Bruce Lisman, I believe it's your turn. What do you have for Phil Scott?
Again, Phil, I've been reading your comments over the years. And on Act 46, which is on our minds, you've said the following. So you need to tell me where you're really going with this. First, you said Act 46 needs some tweaking. You said it didn't go far enough, more control in Montpelier. You proposed at some point a Green Mountain Care Board like idea to consolidate greater power. I'm at the opposite end. I happen to think local control matters. A well-informed audience will vote the right way when their vote matters. So are you saying you want more control in Montpelier? Because it sure sounds that way based on your prior comments. Well, all of which are footnoted, by the way, in all of our ads, unless you ask.
You've been advocating for repeal of Act 46, and I believe that that would be unfair to all those school boards that have done the tireless work of trying to come up with a solution. I've been hearing the screams for relief of property tax from property taxes from Vermonters. We have an affordability, a crisis of affordability on our hands, and we need to reduce costs. And this is messy. It's not easy. But we're educating 20,000 less kids than we were 20 years ago and spending too much money to do it. Act 46 was not perfect, by no means. It wasn't something that I would have crafted, but at least they took some action and they created some dialogue. We wouldn't be having the conversations today about how we reduce spending without Act 46. So at the very least, we need to more than tweak it. We need to clarify school choice, and we need to make sure that the communities can spend the money, keep the money that they find for savings.
Brief rebuttal, Bruce, if you want.
I do. Well, I would have looked to you, and I've said this out loud, and you've heard me say it. You were the guy who was supposed to say there's a better way than Act 46. You were the guy who was supposed to say, don't take $24 million from the education fund. What the heck are we talking about here? You were the guy who should have said, there must be a better way, and I'll round up the best minds I can find to come up with an alternative to Act 46. It was hastily done. I don't think the legislators completely understood what they were seeing, and clearly the consequences of that are now unfolding. I don't think it's a good idea to raise taxes in hopes they'll go down later. We haven't even gotten to the central issues yet. And so I just don't get how come you didn't say more. Why didn't you stand up? You'd have been a hero if you had.
Inaction on Act 46 or anything to do with reducing school costs would have been inappropriate. We need to do something. They've been screaming for relief. The legislature took some action. Again, it wasn't something that I would have crafted, but at least it started the conversation, tough conversation about where we move in the future, which isn't over yet.
I don't think you stood up for hardworking Vermonters on this issue.
At least I've been here as a hardworking Vermonter all my life.
Phil Scott, you have one more question for Bruce Lissman.
Bruce, you've been using the classic negative D.C. tactics. You hired a private investigator to do opposition research on me. Then you denied it. But when the press pushed on you, you admitted it. I've been shocked at how far you're willing to go. And the next step in a campaign like yours, if you take it out of the playbook, is to use national phone vendors to call Republican primary voters, tie up the phone lines, and leave very nasty negative messages pretending to be from another campaign. Will you pledge today to end the dirty tricks?
We don't have any dirty tricks, and I never did any opposition research on you because I said at the time and told you I didn't authorize that, and you can tell we have only spoken of issues. The only things we've spoken about related to you is not your character, not the man you are or even think you are. It's rather the things you've spoken about. The only record we have of your record of what you believe is what you've said. I haven't said anything about you nor used any adjectives. You are responsible for what's taking place. You call me terrible names. I'm not responding to it because you've degraded down to a level of simply, rather than saying, no, I said that incorrectly, or here's the full context for what I said, you just simply respond and say, he's a liar. The third graders say that, not grown men. Let me just say again, I have no dirty tricks. I'm really straightforward. You have a business. You're doing business with the state. If you want to be governor, the solution you've got is not going to hold up. It doesn't even fly under our current modest ethics bill.
Phil Scott.
So when I say that, it's all that I'm saying.
So to clarify, you're saying you did not hire a private investigator to do opposition research on me?
No, on me, not you.
You didn't have any opposition research done on me?
No.
I'm Peter Hirschfeld, and you're listening to a debate between the Republicans running for governor, Bruce Lissman and Phil Scott. If you're following along on social media, you can use the hashtag VPR Debate Week. We have just enough time for a lightning round, and I'm going to ask you to keep your answers as brief as possible. Phil Scott, we're going to start with you. Do you think of yourself as an insider or an outsider?
I've always felt myself as an outsider. I've been in the minority since I started in the Senate and felt that way ever since. I look forward to the day when we have more balance in Montpelier because we're lacking that now.
Bruce Lissman, insider or outsider?
Oh, I'm an outsider. I've never run for office. I ran for class president in the fifth grade, so that's my experience. I'm an issue-oriented guy. I've been that way through Campaign for Vermont's formation, and I still remain so. I believe ideas matter in this country. And if we want to go from minority party to a majority party, it's our ideas that are going to get there.
Next question, Bruce Lissman. Do you do your own taxes?
No. Too complicated in America.
Phil Scott?
No.
Next question. Phil Scott, what app on your phone do you use the most?
That's funny. Probably MapQuest these days, trying to get to all the different locations throughout Vermont that, you know, I've lived here all my life and you'd think I'd know where every nick and cranny was, but I'm finding out that there are places I've never been to or heard of. So I use that quite frequently.
Bruce Lissman, app your thumb finds it way to most often.
You know, I guess it's Facebook. I wouldn't have guessed that a year ago, but here I am on Facebook.
Question four, Bruce Lissman, what is the state of Vermont's biggest challenge?
Oh, I think we have a challenge of a government that doesn't work well for the people.
Phil Scott.
Crisis of affordability, lack of effort in trying to restore the vitality of the economy.
Phil Scott, does the state need an independent ethics commission?
I think we should have an independent ethics commission. I'm not looking to build a bureaucracy, though.
Bruce Lissman.
Yes, I proposed it in 2012 with a coalition of others, and we've been pushing for it ever since. It's just not happening. It tells people that we work for the government, not the other way around. And if we have that ethics thing, Phil's still going to have a problem with his business.
Bruce Lissman, would you feel comfortable serving with a lieutenant governor of another party?
Of course. And I think there's always a diversity of opinion. I'd rather have a lieutenant governor of our party.
Phil Scott?
Absolutely. And I'd be curious whether Bruce would invite him to the cabinet.
And final question in the lightning round. You can take 30 seconds for this one if you'd like. Bruce Lissman, is Phil Scott qualified to be governor of the state of Vermont?
I supported Phil enthusiastically in his runs for lieutenant governor, which I'm sure he would concur with. And I believe that the three Democrats, major Democratic candidates, have an idea about going in the direction that's wrong. They think Governor Shumlin didn't get us there fast enough. And you know that I don't think much of him. So I think he's a great second choice, and I would support him.
Phil Scott?
Well, I think we agree on something. I agree that Bruce would be a great second choice as well.
We are going to give you both a last moment to make your case to voters by answering this closing question. Bruce Lissman, we're going to have you go first. What is the most important quality that distinguishes you from your opponent in this primary election?
Let me say it this way. I believe I'm working for those hardworking Vermonters who really are feeling the pressure of higher taxes, higher fees, having government that doesn't listen to them. They're worried about their communities. They're worried about what's happened to the economy. And they're concerned that not only are their children going, but their neighbors have left. I think I'm the right guy because I really believe in the value of ideas. And I think that leadership is an action statement. And I think ideas is the outline for those actions. In a sense of urgency, this notion that we have to get things done, that the clock is ticking and it's our enemy, provides powerful fuel to that. I listen to people. I'm prepared to fight for what I believe in. I do stand up for things. I like Phil, notwithstanding the fact that he's calling me nasty names. I like Phil. I think he'll tap the brake. I think he'll do some of the right things. But I believe I'm the only candidate that will take us in a different direction. It takes real conviction to do it, a thick skin, and the ability to form coalitions that matter. And I think I can do that.
Phil Scott. What is the most important quality that distinguishes you from Bruce Lissman in this primary election?
Well, I'm running for governor to grow the economy, make Vermont more affordable, and restore faith and trust in the government. And I've been an entrepreneur, small business owner my whole life. And here's what I've learned over the years. I believe that listening and learning is the key to good leadership. And the fact is, I'm the only candidate running for governor who is truly in touch with everyday Vermonters. I understand their challenges. I understand the challenges facing small businesses. I am one. It's what led me to get involved in politics to begin with. And I know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. And I interact with families every single day that are struggling to get by. And I feel their pain. And I believe we can do better. So I believe I have ideas. I have the ability to build consensus, to work across party lines, understand the system, and make it work so that it's beneficial for all Vermonters.
You've been listening to the Republican gubernatorial debate on Vermont Edition with candidates Bruce Lissman and Phil Scott. Thank you to you both for taking part.
Thanks for having us.
Debate week continues tomorrow with the Democratic candidates for governor, with Matt Dunn, Peter Galbraith, and Sue Minter. That debate is tomorrow, live at noon. Debate week on VPR's Vermont Edition is produced by Rick Singeri, Sam Gale Rosen, and Meg Malone. Our director today was Liam Connors, and our executive producer is Patty Daniels. I'm Peter Hirschfeld. Thanks for listening.